Now this morning we started out in Acts 2nd chapter. And Tim was saying in Sunday school that you can go to the same verse and come up with several messages. And I'd like for us to turn to Acts 2nd chapter. You know, the Christian church today is nothing like the Christian church, the early Christian church. Not because we don't get saved the same way we do, but because we don't have the same power that they had. The early Christian church had some power that we have never seen or never imagined. And so I want us to look at the first four verses of chapter 2 of Acts. And the question that I'm going to have for you tonight is, how is your fire burning? How is your fire burning? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Father, as we look into your word tonight, may your Holy Spirit be our guide. And may your will be done. May the message that you have for us tonight be according to your perfect will. And we will praise you for what you do during this service, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I really enjoy sitting in front of a campfire. I don't know how many of you do that. I love campfires. I do. It is so relaxing. For some people, it's the ocean waves. They'll sit there and watch the waves come in. You probably guys do that. But for me, it's a campfire. And back before Connie and I became missionaries, while we were in business, there was a little bit of pressure to be successful at business. And a lot of times there were long hours. And after dinner, on many nights, there was a park just a quarter of a mile down the road from us, a county park, that had a fireplace. And so I would split wood, and I would carry it down. I'd walk down to the park, which was good at that time, and I would build a fire in the fireplace. And I would just sit there in front of it and watch the fire and put the mind in neutral and see where it took me. And that sometimes I would try and gather up some wood. The park, of course, was woodsy, and I would gather up limbs and dead limbs and stuff that had fallen off. And even when they were wet, you give me two styrofoam paper cups, and I can start a fire in wet wood. Because styrofoam burns at 800 degrees. People don't know that. So when you set it on fire under a pile of wood, it's going to dry the wood out. And then it's going to catch on fire and burn. But I love a good fire. They can just sit in front of, I'll sit in front of a gas log. We had a gas log up in Texas in our home. That's how we heated the home. And because they don't have heat in most of the homes out there in southern Texas. And so I'd sit in front of it. It was so nice. We had a gas log fireplace in our house, unvented. And, you know, it was just great. We ought to have one here at the church. You know? I like a good fire. There's just one thing about a fire. You have to keep adding fuel to it. Because if you don't add fuel, the fire is going to go out. And for many of us, when we first got saved, our souls were on fire. Our hearts were on fire. And over time, that fire seems to sort of burn down, and in some cases it almost goes out. Not quite, but almost goes out. And what do you do in a case like that? Well, what you have to do a lot of times, I'm sure you've done this, have you ever started a fire with a magnifying glass and a leaf, a dry leaf? And with sun, you let the sun shine on the edge of that leaf and you focus the heat and it'll catch fire. And then you blow on it gently and add fuel to it. And pretty soon you got a good fire going again. Well, that's what we need to do with our own hearts. Or at least we need to let the Holy Spirit do that to our hearts. One of the neat things about Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Pneuma. And we get our word pneumatic, air operated. It is just a fantastic word that God has given us to represent the Holy Spirit. It is His breath operating in our lives. He can gently blow on our lives, and sometimes we say, oh no, I don't want that. But He can blow on our lives and rekindle the fire. And it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that. And so the kind of fire, I want to see a fire built in our church. Not the kind that's going to burn up the carpet and the chairs, but the kind that's going to burn us up. I would rather, now you've probably heard somebody else say this, and I don't know where I've heard it before, but I've heard it. I would rather burn up for the Lord than burn out for the Lord. I really would rather burn up for the Lord than burn out for the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit wants us to get on fire for Jesus. What kind of preparation do we need to make for special services, for making it possible for the Holy Spirit to stir up our hearts and stir up our lives? And so let's see what the scriptures tell us. Here's that verse again that we worked on this morning. Isaiah 57:15. Let's read it together, or say it together. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Isaiah 57:15. We're going to memorize that verse, folks, just like we did with Galatians 5:22-23. Isaiah 57:15. Let's read it together. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Praise the Lord. God uses an interesting word in this description. We see there's two words in this passage. For spirit. He talks about the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And God, the word Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit is this word pneuma in Greek. Means air, breath, the breath of God. And so that's what the Holy Spirit should be to all of us. It should be the breath of God blowing on our lives. And that's a beautiful picture. God is there. The Holy Spirit has indwelled us. He's there for a reason, not to just be there. He's there to be doing something. First of all, what did Christ call him? He called him the Comforter. And so he is to be our comforter. When we go into times of tribulation, when we go into the times of turmoil, God wants to comfort us. And that's why he has given us the Holy Spirit. Now, if we rely on ourselves, that's a word that I maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago talked about. When we think we can handle a problem, that's pride. That's pride. And God, what? He hates pride. And so the Holy Spirit is here within us to comfort us and to guide us through the problems that God happens to permit to come into our lives for a purpose. So there's a lot of things that this thing, the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, all this Hebrew or Greek word, pneuma. It means current of air, or a breath, or a breeze. And that's what he is. Normally, you can't see a breath unless it's really cold outside, okay? Then you can, the heat condenses some of the moisture in the air, and it looks like you're blowing out a fog of some sort. But normally, you cannot see a breath. But you can feel it. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit in us. We can't see him, and other people can't see him. But they can feel. You can feel him within you. You can know he is there. And you can rely upon him. Recognizing his voice is probably the hardest thing any of us will have to do, because we have many voices inside. I'm not saying that we're schizophrenic, okay? That's one of the characteristics of schizophrenia, is hearing voices. But we have voices in us. We have our own heart, our own desires, our own passions, and they have a voice in our life. But then we also have the Holy Spirit. And just like this morning, I'm so glad he gave me that example, Tim. I went to get dressed, and I took that red striped shirt off the hanger, and I said, no, I want to wear the white one. The Holy Spirit was saying, wear the red striped one. He was. And people, that's how easy it is to go against what he advises us. Because it's a still, small voice. I walked in that closet, and that was the first shirt that I picked out. And why? Because he guided my hand to it. He wants to guide every one of us to the perfect place that he has for us. Not to bring tribulation into our lives, but maybe to help somebody else through their tribulation. And we just don't always listen. I don't. I know that. And I chide myself. Why didn't I listen? And when I got to church and I saw when Tim walked in, you don't know the conviction I came under. That's awful. What can you say? You dummy. But that's the way life is. And that's the kind of relationship we're supposed to have with God's Holy Spirit. So we know when we have not listened. We know when we have not done what he moved us to do. So the Holy Spirit is like a breath. That's what that word means. It means a breath, a God's breath upon us, a breeze. And we, like I said, you can't see a breath, but you can feel it. You can feel it when he blows on your heart. And he's moving you, or moving any of us, to do some type of activity for him. Some type of activity that needs to be accomplished then and there. So, God let the people, on the day of Pentecost, this was something new. It totally new. It had never happened in the history of the world. There had been 4,000 years prior to this of people living on this earth and having some kind of a relationship with God. And so on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, God did something different so that the people could see that something unusual was happening. And it looked like cloven tongues of fire setting on the people. Now, it's not been like that since then. We just know that we sense it when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. At that moment, the Holy Spirit comes in and you can feel him. You're aware of what he does. He comes in and he cleans house. It's all gone. All the sin is gone. And suddenly this burden that we have carried around with us for that up to that point in our life is just lifted. And we are free. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. Now, we don't always understand. I didn't, because I didn't have much knowledge of God's word at the time that I was saved. Most of us didn't. But the longer we walk with him, the more aware we become of the Holy Spirit. I know, there's no question in my mind, I know who told me to wear that red striped shirt this morning. And it wasn't Gina. She didn't call and say, folks, do you realize he is living in you? He is there. He is real. He's as real as your breath when you breathe out or when you breathe in. He is that real. And he is living within us. So when the Holy Spirit came, God showed the people of that time what was going on. People saw. This was visual. When the Holy Spirit came, he was visual. He's not visual today. Today, he indwells us, and it's a thing just between us and God. There are times when he is going to show you things. Who is the Holy Spirit? Let's think about him for a minute. Now, we talked about the Trinity. We talked about God the Father, our Heavenly Father. We talked about Jesus Christ, his Son, part of the Trinity. And then we talked about the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is God. He's as much God as the Heavenly Father. He's as much God as Jesus Christ. He has the same attributes. He has the same abilities. He has the same power. And he is here in you today. So, why are we struggling? Why are we having problems? Why can't we establish communication with him? And I believe we can, folks. But right now, we don't have the kind of communication that the early church had. You know why? Because they didn't have automobiles to get the oil changed in. No, they just had a few little more hay to their donkey or to their horse. They didn't have the telephone to ring about the time they were getting serious about talking to God or anything. They didn't have to worry about preparing meals for family and whether the stove was going to work or not, or whether they would use the oven or microwave. They didn't have those kind of problems. Those aren't problems. Those are blessings, but they are distractions. They are distractions. There is something that I would love to see us do, but I don't know that we can right now, but I would love to see this church go on a retreat where we get away from the telephones and where we get away from all the obligations of life, and we can just be together as a family with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. And that's sort of what we're going to try and accomplish in February when Mike Schrock comes in. Is we are going to meet and he is going to minister to us as a church family. We will all be there. We will all be available to the Holy Spirit's working. And he will be the one who God works through to bring us to a point where we are aware of the power of the Holy Spirit stirring up our hearts. I don't want to call this a revival. Revivals are, we haven't had a revival in this country in 116 years. So I'm not calling this a revival. This is going to be special meetings. If we ever see a revival, it will be something special. It'll be like the day of Pentecost. Hearts are going to get stirred up. I told Mike Schrock when I talked with him, I want my heart to be torn out. I do. I want my heart to be stirred up and set on fire again like it should be. Briefly, very briefly, momentarily, we had that kind of fire burning in us when we got saved. It was there just for a brief period. For some of us, it was maybe minutes. For others, maybe hours. But surely not more than a day. And that's what I want to come back and reinvigorate us. And this verse that we're working on in Isaiah 57, God is saying that he wants to revive the spirit of the humble. It needs revision. He wouldn't say he wanted to revive it if it didn't need to be revived. He wants to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And so we, you and I, need to be working on those two things. Humility, get rid of pride. Be contrite over our sin. Be sorrowful for our sin. Be really sorry for our sin. And if we will do those two things, when we have these special meetings, we will be prepared to let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to for God. We might actually see some spirits revived. We might see some hearts revived. Wouldn't that be something? We couldn't stand each other if we all... No, we could. We'd love each other so much more perfectly, be like the early church. And so that is what we want to see take place, and that's what we're going to be preparing for. Now, this kind of thing is not happening in our services right now, because when we come in, all of us are very busy with this thing we call life. All of us have obligations that are on our minds. Obligations of what work do we need to do? What do we need to accomplish tomorrow? Tomorrow's a holiday. And yeah, Berkeley, it is. It's a holiday. We used to call it Columbus Day. I don't know what they call it now, but it's a federal holiday. And I ask my wife, what do you want to do? And she said, I don't know. What do you want to do? That sound like a conversation at your house? Okay. How are we going to decide what we're going to do? Are we going to go and ask the Holy Spirit and listen for his response when we're not really used to hearing him? Well, that would be a good place to start. But he wants to work in our hearts with his power. And I want to see him working in my heart with his power. I want to see him working in your hearts with his power. But right now, our hearts are so distracted by this thing we call life. Life. We have people in our lives that we need to interact with. We have people in our lives that need to some kind of a response from us, or need something from us, or we need something from them. And we call this thing life. But that is what's distracting us from hearing what the Holy Spirit wants to do. When's the last time you knew for sure what the Holy Spirit wanted you to do in the next hour? I had a chance this morning to do what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. It lasted less than a minute. Time enough to take a shirt off a hanger, look at a white shirt, put that shirt back on the hanger, and take the white shirt off. That's how quick it was. The Holy Spirit communicated with me. The Holy Spirit wants to communicate with you. He does. He wants to communicate with you about every aspect of your life. And that's what I want to see us come to it as a church, that the Holy Spirit, that we might be 100% available to the Holy Spirit. Right now, it's probably something like 3 or 4%. That's all it is, 3 or 4%. How many hours you spend praying in a day? Okay, while you're praying and you're remembering different people, what else are you remembering? Oh, I forgot to turn off the coffee pot. Or your phone rings. And there are so many distractions. We need to concentrate on getting our hearts and our spirits right, so that the Holy Spirit can speak to them, and that we will hear him, and we will respond and not make the mistake of choosing for ourselves. That's what I did this morning. I chose for myself. That's what we all are doing. So in a few minutes ago, we looked at this passage from Isaiah 57. So let's just look there again for a minute. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now this particular verse is speaking to the purpose that God desires to accomplish in each of the lives of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to accomplish in our life. It's the desire of God to see our hearts and the fire in our hearts rekindled. And the Holy Spirit is there, a breath to blow upon the embers. The embers are still there, or you wouldn't be here tonight. There are still embers burning in your heart, or you wouldn't be coming back here. You'd be out there somewhere. But you're here. So there are still embers glowing. And what we need, each one of us, need to have the Holy Spirit be the breath that he is, and gently blow on those embers and rekindle the fire. He has two criteria. We looked at those. Humility and contrite. Okay, we know how to be humble. Get rid of our pride. Get rid of our pride. Okay? You know what? I get so proud of getting rid of my pride. I don't mean to be proud. I have nothing to be proud of. God is doing it all. He's doing it all for you. He is using you. He has equipped you to serve him. And he is doing everything that he can to make you successful. To make you joyful. Look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering. You say, well, I haven't got any patience. Long-suffering. That's what that is. Gentleness, goodness, faith. We talked about faith this morning in Sunday school. Tim was talking about faith. And the first verse I think of is Romans 10, 17. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's where faith is going to come from. It's not going to come from our fellowship here. It's going to come from your fellowship with God through this book. This book is the Word of God. It is a living book. It will set you on fire. It will. And I was so grateful for Jane playing The King Is Coming. as a prelude to our service. To remind me, I hadn't thought about that for some time. But he is, he's coming. And folks, we need to be ready for him. We want to be ready for him. Man, I'd hate to show up in work clothes when the king came to visit. I want to be in my best. I want to have some nice clothes on. He's not going to look at our clothes, but I don't want to be dressed. I used this expression one time in Scotland, and then I found out that I had really made a guffaw. I said I didn't want to be dressed like a bum. Okay, that means a different thing over there. That's a lower back part of your anatomy. And it's like the missionary who, you know, told him that his wife was under the weather, and that means she was drunk. But I want to be ready when he comes. I want to be ready when Mike Schrock comes, for to see my heart stirred up, to see the Holy Spirit be able to do something in me, through me, and through each of you. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we all had our hearts stirred and suddenly the fire was rekindled? Maybe not a raging campfire, but at least a few flames. Huh? I'm looking forward to it. David, king of Israel, he called out to God in his 85th psalm. He said this in Psalm 85, 6 through 13. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in their land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. David called out for revival, for renewal. You know, we are in the same place right now that King David was. When he wrote this 85th Psalm, he knew that his spirit needed revival. We can't generate revival on our own. We cannot generate revival on our own. We are sinful beings because we have a sin nature. And if we experience revival, we will still have that sin nature. That will be with us until we leave this life. But revival can give the Holy Spirit more power to operate within our lives, to guide us and to put us in a place that God wants us to be. We can't live worldly lives and expect to come up to God's standards. We have to let go of our lives and turn them over to God. I'm going to say that one more time. We have to let go of our lives and turn them over to God. That means letting go of everything. Who we are, what we want, what we desire. Turn it over to God and let him direct us and control us and provide for us. I can tell you right now, that there's a part of me and probably a part of you that doesn't want to do that. We call it the old nature. We all have it. We had it before we were saved. That's how we were getting by. That's what we were living. We were living in the old nature, with the old nature. He was driving our lives. But when we got saved, the old nature was supposed to die. Supposed to die. But he didn't. Because he didn't want to die. And we let him cohabitate with the new nature. And this is part of our problem. The old nature is a very proud being. That's us. So, you know, this is not an accusation. This is simply a statement of fact. The old man is supposed to be dead, but for most of us, he is still alive and well. For most of us, he is, if we'll be honest with ourselves. Paul wrote about it in Ephesians. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So folks, what we're trying to do is get rid of the old man, the old things of our life. Listen to me carefully. Many Christians don't think about this, or they don't understand this part of salvation. The moment that you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwelled your soul. That's just automatic. When he indwelled your soul, he did not kill the old man. That's not his job. That's your job. It's not the Holy Spirit's job to kill the old man. It's our job. All of us. And we have to deal with that. If the Holy Spirit had killed the old man when he indwelled us, all of us would be exactly in the position that God wanted us to be. But right this moment, I don't think there's any of us. And this is not a criticism. This is not putting anybody down. I don't think there's any of us exactly in the position that God wants us. I don't think we do. And otherwise, we wouldn't need reviving. So one of the things that we're going to have to deal with when I talk about dealing with pride, part of that is the old man. What we were before we got saved. We bring a lot of baggage into salvation. We do. The fact of the matter is, that we are living with the old man and the new man within us. And that's the problem. Do you think that the new man or the Holy Spirit wants you to sin? Do you still have a problem with sin? Is that the new man? Or the Holy Spirit that's causing that problem? No, it's not. It's us. I'd love to blame my wife. She's smaller than I am. I can get away with it. But it's not her fault. It's mine. And we can blame all the people in the world. We see people in Washington doing that all the time. Oh, it wasn't my fault, so-and-so, you know. No, it's us. And we, you and I, have to deal with that. And that's what God has brought us together here for, is so that we can deal with it. So we have Sunday school lessons that teaches us about how we can do this. So that we have services that teaches us that we need to do this. And then when we get home or get by ourselves, we can think about this. Do we need to do this? Do we want to do this? And part of us is going to say no. That's the old man. Don't let him be successful. We're going to have to work on getting rid of him. We are. And we must realize that he is there. He is a part of us. Why would the old man still be alive? He's not going to go anywhere on his own. We have to be the ones to remove him from our life, from having the influence that he has upon us. We, you and I, if we want to be successful, are going to have to remove him. Not let him have his way, but let God. Now, it's going to take a goodly amount of fervent prayer to accomplish this. It really is. This is the very reason that we're not ready for a revival tonight. This is the very reason why we're not ready for a revival right now. We have to get rid of the old man and his influence upon our life. We have to be so close to God, so close to the Holy Spirit, that we know to put on the striped shirt. Really, that's how close we've got to be. He will guide us in every step that we take if we let him. But the old man is still, it was the old man who wanted to wear this white shirt. I know that. I knew that the minute Tim walked in. I right up to that moment, I thought, okay, I did pretty good this morning. I got dressed. And then Tim walked in. And I knew. You did not listen to the Holy Spirit. Tim, it was all your fault. If you hadn't showed up this morning, see, I can't blame him. Because I know who was at fault. So do you. We've got to understand. We do have authority over the old man now that we have the Holy Spirit living within our heart. Now that we have received Jesus Christ, his shed blood covers our sin. That's all we need to know. His shed blood covers our sin. So we do have authority over the old man. And Paul, again, in his writings, dealt with that. He had the same problem. He said, those things that I want to do, those are the things I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things that I hate, those are the very things that I do. And we can all attest to that. That's how our life is. Paul said in Romans, when he was writing to the Romans, in his letter to the Romans, Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Okay, when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, that's pride. That's the old man. I'm afraid that the bottom line of our relationship with God looks like this. Do we want our relationship with the Heavenly Father to be better than it is right now? Or do we want our own way more? Think of this. Do we want our relationship with the Heavenly Father to be better than it is right now? Or do we want our own way more? Now, depending on how you answer that question, depending on how that question affects you and your relationship to God, will depend on whether or not you experience revival. Can God revive your soul? Can He revive your heart? Yes, He can. Will He? Not as long as there is pride, because the minute that He does that, we'll take credit for it. We do that all the time. Oh, look what a great job I've done. Look how nice everything looks. Oh, I got dressed this morning and I look good. That's not true, folks. Tim ruined it for me. He reminded me how carnal I am. All of us. We live with carnality. We live in the flesh. But there is something inside of us that wants much more. And that's what we're going to spend the next few months working on. We want to get to the place where when the Holy Spirit speaks, we hear. When the Holy Spirit moves, we are ready. And we let Him. We let Him take us and make us what God wants. We're going to have to make an effort to be more like Jesus, to let the Spirit have more freedom in order for our life to change and to get rid of the old man. When the old man is truly dead, then you and I are going to see revival, real Holy Spirit revival. I want to close with a passage from Psalm 138, verses 5-8. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth Thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of Thine own hands. And that's us. Father, thank You for caring enough to change us. Caring enough to let Your Holy Spirit indwell us and go every place we go. And Father, may we hear Him. May we listen for Him. And Father, may we obey Him when He speaks. And we will praise You for all that You do, because whatever happens is going to be of Your control. And Father, help us to be in the center of Your will, Your perfect will, and we will praise You for all that You do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.